Hello and welcome to our site as we continue our meditations that I've entitled Back to the Bible. And so if you have your Bible handy, please turn to the book of Numbers. We have come now to the book of Numbers in the Pentateuch, the five books that God gave to Moses, that Moses wrote down. And in Numbers chapter 6, there is the priestly blessing. And I'd like to read that to you. And then talk to you this morning about the whole concept of blessing as we find it in the Bible. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22, if you have it in your Bible. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them, says the Lord." What a wonderful little passage of Scripture. What an amazing thing that God in his grace blesses his people. But what does that mean? What does it mean to you and me today? The fact that God is willing to bless us and asks us to be a blessing to others. What does that mean and how does that work? Well, let's go right back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28 and remind ourselves of Adam and Eve, our first parents in the Garden of Eden. We read in Genesis 1:28, "God blessed them, God blessed them, and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground.'" What an amazing impartation of the blessing of God upon our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden. And as we look at that blessing of God, that impartation of God's blessing, it guaranteed increase, it guaranteed multiplication, it guaranteed reproduction, procreation. It guaranteed them dominion and authority, rulership, reign, and reproduction. What an amazing blessing. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply and have dominion." The creation of man began with the blessing of God in these amazing dimensions. Then in Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3, we read about Abraham. And God says to Abraham, the father of the faithful, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you I will curse." And listen to this, "And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." In other words, the blessing of God, the blessing that God imparted to Abraham, is imparted to all the children of Abraham. And we who are followers of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Redeemer, God's Son who has died on the cross for our sins and risen again for our salvation, we have been born again, are the spiritual seed of Abraham, and we share in the blessings of Abraham. And so the blessing that God imparted to Abraham included greatness and fame and honor and increase, in fact, blessing for all the people groups of the earth. Well, it's still happening today. And then as we go through to this passage in Numbers, the Lord says to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them." The Aaronic blessing, as we sometimes refer to it. "You bless them," said the Lord, "and I will bless them with my presence and my peace and my favor." And so we have to conclude then that a true blessing from God has a practical, tangible, beneficial result. And also it's unchanging, if you like, irrevocable in a manner of speaking. We have this amazing passage here in the book of Numbers, in fact, a few chapters regarding the king Balak of Moab, who hired the prophet Balaam to curse Israel. But instead of cursing them, every time the prophet opened his mouth, God, of course, inspired him to bless the Israelites. It's a fascinating story. Don't have time to look at it in detail this morning, but Numbers chapters 22, 23, and 24. It's right there in this book that we start looking at today. He hires Balaam to curse the Israelites, but God has chosen to bless them. It's a fascinating, highly amusing story. Have you ever had a conversation with a donkey? Well, Balaam the prophet had a conversation with his donkey. First of all, he was angry with his donkey. It took him into a field, and then he took it through a narrow place, and it banged his knees against the wall, and then he beat the donkey, and God spoke to him through the donkey. The king is outraged because the prophet, inspired through the Holy Spirit, can only bless Israel. And Balaam responds and says, I've received a command from God to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot change it. Rather like the situation that we read about a few weeks ago in Genesis chapter 27 and verse 33, where Jacob gets Isaac's blessing, not Esau. And it's this amazing situation where Esau objects, but Jacob says, Isaac says, I have blessed him, and he will be blessed. Nothing can change it. The patriarch is unable to curse what God has blessed. Of course, Jesus takes this a whole lot further for his disciples when he teaches in the Sermon on the Mount, Luke chapter 6 and verse 28, bless those who curse you, pray for those who ill-treat you. But I mention this here because we need to know Jesus wouldn't command us to bless if blessing people had no consequences. People are better off when they are blessed. Blessing would be meaningless if nothing happened. When God blesses us as his children and we bless others through spirit-directed prayer, or a word of prophecy or pronouncement, a word of truth from God, there are results, and the results are good. I've had the joy, if you like, the blessing, of seeing this work for over 50 years. Just one example. I've had the joy and privilege of dedicating to the Lord many, many little ones whom the parents have brought to a church service for the purpose of giving thanks to God for the birth of the child and praying God's blessing over the child and the child's future. And on so many occasions, with decades now that have gone by, I've been able to see the results of the imparted blessing of God into the lives of those children. How God has honored his word, and how he has blessed them and fulfilled the words that were spoken over them when they were dedicated to the Lord. Now let me take you back to the Old Testament and to a wonderful passage that's in Deuteronomy. We haven't got to Deuteronomy quite yet, but take a look at this, Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verses 1 to 8. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he has given you. The condition? Obedience. An obedient walk in the center of the will of God for your life. A long obedience in the same direction. And the result? Blessing. These blessings will accompany you and overtake you, the word says. Literally, you'll be overrun by blessing. And when you unpack this, friend, you discover that you'll be blessed in your home, you'll be blessed in your family, you'll be blessed in your work. As a result of God's blessing, you'll have adequate provision, constant protection, and marvelous victory. If I may humbly say so to the glory of God, that's the testimony of my life. Ever since I surrendered my life fully to the Lord Jesus and to his service, God has blessed me in my home, in my family, in my work. He has provided adequately, he has protected constantly, and he's given victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, it doesn't mean life will always be easy and comfortable, but it does say we will be blessed if we obey the Lord. Now let me take you to the New Testament, from Abram to you, his spiritual seed. Because you're the spiritual seed of Abraham as a Christian, as a born-again believer, a Christ follower, an authentic Christian, you need to get this crucial connection. Paul's letter to the Galatians in chapter 3, he says, understand then that those who believe, that is, those who've entrusted their lives to Christ and are following him, trusting Jesus day by day, those who believe are children of Abraham. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. Did you get that? Paul is teaching the believers in Galatia that those who are in Christ, those who are born again, spiritually reborn into the family of God through faith in Jesus Christ, are Abram's seed. They are his spiritual seed and blessed along with Abraham. So important to see that connection. Now go from there to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, where Paul says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Material abundance and blessing is wonderful, but that's not always the will of God for every believer. But the spiritual blessings, all that heaven can give us, the blessings of God that are eternally real, are what really matters. And Paul reminds the Philippian believers of that too. He says, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs, not your greeds, but your needs, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Why? Because that's what God has promised to do. The words of Jesus, Matthew 6, verse 33, seek first, not second or third or fourth, seek first the kingdom, that is the reign of Christ in your life, the lordship of Jesus, the will of God for your life. Seek first the kingdom of God, the rule of God, and his righteousness, his right way for your life, and everything else will be added to you, says Jesus. Now let's unpack this a little and see what the blessings of God are in practical terms. Without question, the greatest blessing of God is the blessing of salvation, the gift of eternal life, past, present, and future. To be in Christ, to have Christ in you, is the greatest blessing in the world. And to those in Christ, God imparts one blessing after another. He blesses us so that we will bless others, so that we'll be conduits or channels of blessing to others day by day. So let's see what these blessings are. And the greatest blessing that we enjoy as Christ followers is the presence of God. And that's what I'd like to share with you for a while this morning. The presence of God. And that's the one that is the greatest of them all for the Christian, the very presence of the Lord. In a sense, if you have His presence, friend, you have everything. The worst thing in the world is to be cut off from the presence of the Lord. That's hell. The best thing in the world is to be in the presence of the Lord. That's heaven. In Genesis, the story of beginnings, we read about Cain who killed his brother Abel. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, we read. Friend, the woes of the world began when man went away from the presence of the Lord. And all the woes of our present day world are being experienced for exactly the same reason, that man has gone away from the presence of the Lord. Moses realized the presence of the Lord was the most essential blessing, and he and the Israelites could enjoy. And he said to God, "If your presence doesn't go with us, do not send us up from here." And God said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Deuteronomy 4:37, "By his presence he brought us out of Egypt." Moses the orator, 150 verses, 4.5 chapters, recounting God's dealings with Israel as a result of his presence with them. King David's greatest dread was that God would remove his presence from him. When he sinned against God and committing adultery with Bathsheba, he cries out in Psalm 51, his prayer of repentance, "Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me." King David realized this would be the worst possible thing that could ever happen to anyone, to be cast from the presence of the Lord, to have the Holy Spirit of God removed from your life. Brother Yun in China, a modern-day apostle, was imprisoned 17 times, tortured and beaten. When he was asked what carried him through, his answer was simple, the presence of the Lord. Some of you listening to my voice may have met or remember Richard Wurmbrand or Harlan Popov, two pastors who during the communist regime were imprisoned, tortured, beaten, put in solitary confinement, and yet their cells lit up with the presence of the Lord. Now, when God manifests his presence, that's the greatest privilege of all. And that's what happens when God gives us spiritual awakening, what we sometimes call a revival. The Hebridean revival that broke out some 70 years ago was an amazing instance where sometimes on an island, almost every single inhabitant came to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ in that wonderful spiritual awakening. Campbell Morgan, who was greatly used by God during that Hebridean revival, used to refer to the manifest presence of God. When you bless someone with the presence of God, you're blessing them with an extraordinary treasure, strength to endure, hope for the future, assurance and security. St. Patrick of Ireland became famous for this prayer, "I bless you with the presence of God. God before you, God behind you, God to the right of you, God to the left of you, God above you, God beneath you, God outside you, God within you. I bless you with the presence of God." I want to mention four things about the presence of God as we close out this morning. First of all, to remind you, the presence of God, dear friend, is the place of awe. It's the place of awe. Whatever happened to awe in the Church of Jesus today? I reminded you last Sunday of the prophet Isaiah, who says in Isaiah 6:1-5, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with 6 wings. With 2 they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. 'Woe to me,' I cried," says Isaiah, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." The presence of the Lord is the place of awe, the place that Jacob the patriarch discovered at Bethel. God said, "I am with you. I'll watch over you wherever you go. I'll bring you back to this land. I'll not leave you until I've done everything that I've promised you." We read, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? How awesome is this place? This is none other than Beit El, the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Oh, I pray you'll experience that awe in the presence of the Lord today. Revelation chapter 1, verses 13 to 17, the Apostle John sees one among the lampstands in his vision, like a son of man dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, with a golden sash around his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, white as snow. His eyes were like blazing fire. Who was this? It was the glorified Jesus. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held 7 stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held 7 stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. My, what an amazing, wonderful vision of the glorified Jesus. And John says, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I was dead, but behold, I am alive forevermore. I hold the keys of death and Hades.'" The presence of God is a place of awe. Secondly, it's a place of blessing. Back to Jacob, who wrestled with God on his way to meet his estranged brother Esau. And when he wrestled with the angel of God, the man said, "Let me go, for it's daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Oh, may we have that same passion and zeal in the Church of Jesus today. People will cry out to God, "I will not let you go until you bless me." The man asked Jacob, "What's your name?" And Jacob answered. The man said, "Your name is no longer to be Jacob, the twister, the deceiver, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." The presence of God, dear friend, is a place of amazing blessing. You remember that story maybe in 1 Chronicles 13, verse 14, when the ark was taken to the house of Obed-Edom, and he was blessed out of his socks because the ark representing the presence of God was in his house. Thirdly, the presence of God is a place of joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory is what the Apostle Paul calls it. Psalm 16 and verse 11, David says, "You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Yes, the presence of the Lord is the place of joy. Jesus is saying to you and me today, I want my joy to be in you and your joy to be complete. How do we experience that? We experience that when we seek intimacy in our relationship with God. It's the place of joy. And then, in conclusion, it's the place of refreshing. That's what the Apostle Peter prayed for in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. The times of refreshing would come from the presence of the Lord. Every spiritual awakening in history has been a time of refreshing for God's people. A wonderful time of living water. A wonderful time of being renewed in spirit, soul, and body. Times of refreshing from the very presence of God. How we long for that in these days. And so I'd close with the words of two little choruses that perhaps you know. In His presence, in His presence, in His holy presence, the weary can find perfect rest, the broken are restored. In His presence, in His holy presence, there's nothing like the presence of the Lord. And in the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we thank You for this blessing that Aaron and the priests were to pray over the Israelites so long ago. And we thank You for the concept of blessing that is so evident throughout Scripture. And we thank You for the reality and the wonder of a God-blessed life. We thank You most of all for the blessing of Your presence. And we pray that we may know in these days Your manifest presence. May we know Your presence as the place of awe, the place of blessing, the place of joy, the place of refreshing and renewal. Like the psalmist, we cry out to You. Our soul thirsts for You, for the living God. And we thank You, Heavenly Father, that You meet the need of every thirsty soul. And thank You, Lord, for the blessing of salvation. Thank You that Jesus came, that we might have life in all its fullness. Thank You that You so loved the world, so loved each one of us, that You gave Your one and only Son, so that believing on Him we might not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank You that You give blessing after blessing to Your people who walk in trustful obedience to Your will and purpose for their lives. And so we pray that today we may come in full and glad surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us, and receive the blessing of the Holy Spirit of God, the presence of God. And so may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, the communion and comfort of the Holy Spirit be with you each one, now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you.
its maker bows to his head. Curtains open.